So we're going to learn Daf Samach Beis and Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the bottom line on Samach Aleph from a Beis. The Gemara quotes, there's a quote of the Mishnah. It says, "Hatamidim Yotzin the Tamas." So the Mishnah was discussing various professions of how often they should be with their wives. So one of the quotes in the Mishnah is right above it on the middle, in the middle of Samach Aleph from a Beis. The Gemara quotes and says, "Hatamidim." Okay, it says that Talmidim can go to learn Torah even without permission, even if they didn't discuss it with their wives. That's okay to go for 30 days. And it also says, Hapoilim Shabbos Achas. Okay, and those two things happen to go together in the Mishnah. And the Poilim can go for, if you're a worker, you can go for a whole week also without your wife's permission, even though you theoretically could be home more often, but it's okay to go out for a week. All right, so quoting that part of the Mishnah, as it says, Talmidim Yoyis on the Talmud, they can go to learn Torah for a whole month, v'chulut. So, that's talking about Shaloi Birishus. The Mishnah is very clear to point out that this is talking about even without permission, it's okay, you're not ruining your marriage if you go without her consent. So the Gemara has a very simple question, Birishus Kamo. How much, if you have her consent, how much time could you go with her permission? So the Gemara says, I don't understand the question. Kama deboi. So you can go for whatever you want. I mean, if you agree and you make up a time, then you're in agreement with what the time should be. So what's the issue? So the Gemara rephrases the question now on the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Urcha de milsa kama. So the translation of this is, what would be normal? The normal would be for how much? And Rashi adds in a very interesting point. Rashi says, how much would be considered normal to go, shaloi yisa alav chet? So that it shouldn't come to the day chet. Now the chet that we can be talking about, that Rashi says, could be talking about hirurim, could be talking about the fact that, you're often doing your own thing and you shouldn't regret it. I mean, there could be different ways to translate what Rashi's saying. But the way Rashi says, it's not just, when we talk about normal, what defines normal? You know, that's one of every society's favorite question of what's considered normal. So Rashi says what's normal in this context, is normal that you should do it without chet, that you should be doing it correctly. What would be the correct amount of time? So we have a machlokes Rav and Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav chodesh kan v'chodesh b'bayis. So the normal amount of time, the proper procedure would be if you want to go for a month, and then you have to be home for a month. Shenamar, and it's based on a pasuk, because the pasuk says when David HaMelech needed people to serve in the army, needed people to help in Klal Yisrael, it says l'chol dover machlokes hevi haba'a v'hayotzeis. For all those different divisions of people that needed to be, for those who are coming and are going, chodesh b'chodesh, chodesh b'chodesh, month to month, l'chol chodshei hashana, for the whole month, for all the months of the year. Okay, so the way Rashi explains that the drasha of the pasuk is, because it just says chodesh b'chodesh, a month at a time, you could have understood that to mean 1 month a year. But instead, since it says havo v'hayotze that are coming and going, so we understand that we're talking about there's one group coming and one group going. So if it's two groups, so over the course of the year, those two groups are dividing up the year 6 months each, which means every other month. And that's how Rav understands, based on darshans, based on this pasuk, that it's a month learning in yeshiva and a month back at home. Okay. That's Rav's opinion. He says, no, the normal way to do things, if you're going to be away for a whole month, is then you should have to spend 2 months at home. And he also bases it on a pasuk. This is a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech. For a month you'll be up in Lebanon, and 2 months you're going to be at home, which is very clear. The pasuk is very clearly split, dividing it up 1 month away, 2 months home. Now that happens to be talking about when Shlomo HaMelech needed Klal Yisrael to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the way he did it was he divided 30,000 people into groups of 10,000 each, and then they would rotate. So if I was working, that means there were two other groups at home. So then I would go home while one group replaced me, and then another group would replace that group, which would mean technically that I was home for 2 months before it was my turn, my rotation again, to go back out. So again, so you have a very simple machlekes Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says it's one month, and Rav Yochanan says 1 month to the 2 month ratio, that yet 2 months you have to be home. Now the Gemara says very simple. We have two psukim over here, which seem to contradict each other. So for Rav Nami, my time eloy omer me'ahi. So why doesn't Rav learn it out of the pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech that it was 2 months at home? So he says, Shani binyan beis hamikdash de'efshar al yidei achayim. The difference is that by the beis hamikdash there were other people who were involved over there. That was something that was not necessarily my obligation. Whereas, if I'm going to learn Torah, I can't get someone else to learn Torah for me. That's a mitzvah degufis. I have to do it myself. So the beis hamikdash is not something that it's incumbent on me. So that pasuk doesn't necessarily reflect and refer to somebody who wants to learn Torah himself. Okay, now the other way around is interesting. Rabbi Yochanan, my time eloy omer me'ahi. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan learn from Rav's pasuk, which says 1 month, 1 month? That's also a way to do service. So he says, Shani hosom de islay harvachom. Over there, it's a little different because I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid, and I'm making money. So when you're making money, it's okay, and your wife is going to be okay with you being out of the house every other month. So when I'm making money, I can be 1 month, 1 month, and that's okay. Whereas if I'm going to sit and learn Torah, which is of course the ultimate job, but lemaisa, you're not making money, you're not supporting the house, so it's harder for the wife at home. So that's not something that a person should do if the wife can't handle it. Now that happens to be the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. That's the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara, that we're discussing how long the Talmid HaChachamim can go to learn, even with Rishus, what's considered normal, how much time they should therefore spend at home. Happens to be very interesting. Tosfos learns a very different Pshat in the Gemara. And Tosfos says we're not talking about the Talmid HaChachamim. We're actually talking about the Poilim. That's why I read you both parts of the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the Talmidim go for 30 days, and the Poilim go for a week. So, because the Gemara never says, when it says Bereshus Kama, how much is going to go Bereshus, it's not clear that we're talking about Talmid HaChachamim. It's kind of an open-ended question. We kind of assumed that was talking about the Talmidim. But it really could be going on the Poilim as well. So the only problem Tosfos has with learning this Pshat is that the end of the Gemara, it says, but you're making money. The end of the Gemara was, according to Rashi's Pshat, was very simple. Because you're making money in service versus going to learn Torah where you're not making money. So the Gemara's Teretz is very, very simple. That's why we don't learn out of the 1 month, 1 month pasuk, because you're making money. So Tosfos has to interpret that last line of the Gemara to mean that you make a lot of money. When they used to serve in David HaMelech's court, they made David HaMelech paid them very handsomely, paid them very nicely, so therefore it was a good deal. Whereas a poil, okay, so he's going to work, yes, okay, you're making money, but you're not making that much money, it's not worth it. You know, there's a certain point where, yes, I could make more money, but everybody in their own way has their cutoff where they say, okay, this just isn't worth it. It's not worth it for me if I'm never home. So that's the way Tosfos learns the Gemara. But it is very interesting because it comes out that according to Tosfos, this idea of going away for a month and coming home for a month is not necessarily true. For a Talmid Chacham might be a whole different set of rules. If this Gemara is talking about Poilim, the way Tosfos is learning, a Talmid Chacham could have a whole different set of rules, which is like what we're going to see later in the Gemara. Amarav. Once we've discussed the Machlekes Rav and Rav Yochanan and which pasuk we learn from, so the Gemara brings another Machlekes Rav and Rav Yochanan, which seems on its face not to have anything to do with the Machlekes before. But it's a Machlekes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara brings it here. Amarav, Anocho Sheideres Chatzi Gufoy Shel Odom. When a person sighs or groans about, you know, some grief that he has, that weakens half the person. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Ve'ata ben Adam, when this person, Hanach b'shivrin masnayim, that he sighs when he breaks his loins, b'meriroiz tanach, and with bitterness he signs or groans. So, okay, so when a person, but it says, shibra masnaim, and it breaks his masnaim, breaks his loins, so that's half his body. So therefore we see that it breaks half a person. That's what Rav says. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af kol gufay shel adam. It actually destroys, it weakens the whole body. It's not just the half a thing, it's a whole thing. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'haya ki yoimru eilecha amatonenach. When a person says to you, what are you crying about? Now it happens to be both of these psukim happen to be talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But if a person will ask you, why are you groaning, why are you sighing? The amarta, and you're going to say, al shmua kibah, on the news that I just heard, v'namas kol lev, and my whole heart was melted. V'rafu kol yadayim, and all my hands were weak, because of kol ruach, and my whole spirit was broken. V'chol berchayim telachna mayim, and my knees were like water. But the point is, we see from these psukim that they were discussing their whole body, not just half their body. Okay, so it's a machlekes whether it affects your half your body or your whole body. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yochanan, nami yoksid b'shiver masnayim." But Rabbi Yochanan, what are you going to do with the pasuk that it does say that it breaks in the half of the body? But the masnayim is the loins, the middle of the body. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ahu hahi dechi maschola mi masnayim maschola." He says, "Zenachanami." That's not referring to how much it does. That's referring to where it starts from. When it starts from the middle of your body, and then it ripples through the rest of your body. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's still the effect is on the entire body, not just half the body. But Rav that said it only affects half. What does he do with the pasuk that it says kol lev v'rafu kol yadayim, all your hands became a kol ruchai, and it says about your whole body. So what does he do with the fact that this pasuk certainly implies that the entire body is affected by it? So he says, "Shani shmua deves hamigdash to tekifa tuva." There's a difference between hearing stam bad news and when you hear about the Beis Hamikdash. Hearing about the Beis Hamikdash was such an impact, had such a negative impact on Klal Yisrael. It bothered them so much that it had more than just the regular effect. So Erechanami. So according to Rav, it comes out, it depends what the news is. If it's just bad news, whatever that bad news may be, so then Erechanami, and a person sighs and says, or, you know, something troubling him, so then that affects him, weakens half his body. But when he hears about the Beis HaMikdash, which is such encompassing, terrible news, that will, Erechanami, even Rav agrees that it could impact his whole body. But it's not about the average thing. So on that note, now that we know that the Beis HaMikdash has that impact, the Gemara tells a story. There were this Yid and a guy that were traveling together, Bahadi Adadi, they were going together. The guy was not able to keep up with the Yisrael. The Yisrael was walking too quickly for him. And the guy wanted to go together. So he adkarei churban Beis HaMikdash. So he reminded the Yid about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to have him sigh. Negid ve'esnach, he sighed and he groaned. Ba'afilu hachi lo yemtzi avikacham l'skuyi b'hadei. And even so, the Yid kept on going. The guy was not able to keep up with him. So the guy actually said, Lavam risu, didn't you say, anocha shayveres chatzi gufa shel odom? Didn't you yourself agree? Doesn't Klal Yisrael say, based on the Pesukim, that when you sigh, that weakens half your body, so you should have slowed down? So Amar Lei, so the Yid answered to him, Hani Mili Milsa Chadati. That's when you hear it for the first time, a new thing really has the impact. Avalha Deshonon Ba Loi. But this, that we're used to it, we heard about it, if you want to call it, we're numb to it, however you want to refer to it, that once you hear it over and over again, it does not have the same impact as the first time, the first shock that you get from hearing the bad news. Now, Amri Yinshi, as people say, the malfa tichli loy basa, a woman who has a mapelis, that she has miscarriages often, loy basa, she's not scared. So if Nebuch, it happens over and over again. So it doesn't have the same impact. You know, the first time, it's much more harmful, much more hurtful than something that she's accustomed to. So we see the same concept over here also. Anachanami, it is a very serious thing, but when you hear about it over and over and over again, you become not as reactive to it as you were in the beginning. Okay. Moving on, the Gemara now brings a different part of the Mishnah. Atayolim b'chol yoyim. The Mishnah says that Tayolim, which we're going to translate now, they should be with their wives every day. So the Gemara asks, "My Tayolim, what do these people do that they're around every day?" So Amar Rava b'nei Pirki. So Rava wants to say that it's talking about the guys who go to yeshiva every day and they learn locally, so they're home every night. So those guys are home every night. They should be with their wife every night. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, one second. Man dechosav behu. If we're talking about Tamid HaChacham that are going to learn in yeshiva, even if they're learning locally, it says about them, Shov lochem mashkimei kum. It's worthless for those people who get up early. Ma'achrei sheves, and they stay out late. Uichlei lechem hatzavim, they eat the bread of sorrow. Ken yitein liyididoi sheino, they're gonna give to their friend sheino, which we'll see in a second. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. The people who wake up early and come home late, and they're yididoi sheino, and what does that mean? V'amar Rav Yitzchok, and Rav Yitzchok translates those words and says, Elu nishoy seyin shel talmidei chachomim, this is the wives of those talmidim, shemenadadoi shinameinim, that are trying to block sleep from their eyes, that they're trying to, they're falling asleep and trying to keep themselves up. In Olam Hazeh, because they're waiting for their husbands to come home. And that is what causes them to be zoicha to Olam Haba. So we see that the husbands are not home on a regular basis. These, the schus of these guys that are going to learn, if we're talking about Talmidei Chacham, we're talking about real Talmidei Chachamim, they're not home conveniently when it's nice and convenient for their wives. They're home very late. Ba'at Amris B'nei Pirki, and you're gonna say that it's referring to B'nei Pirki that are gonna be home every night with their wives. That's not what a Talmid Chacham is. That's not the way it works. So therefore, Abaya does not like that pshat that the Tayolim are referring to local Talmidei Chachamim. Elom or Abaya. So rather, Abaya says pshat is kederav, like Rav learned. Omer Rav kegoin Rav uShmuel bar Shilas. Now, in other words, this is this is the prototype of right. Who we're talking about? Kegoin Rav uShmuel bar Shilas. In other words, not the guys who go to learn by a Rebbe, but rather Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, the Ochel Medidei that was able to support himself. He was a Rebbe, so he was supporting himself. Shasim Medidei, and he was able to drink his own wine. Kegoni Betula da Padne, and he would sleep in his own shade. Meaning he would come home. The loychol of Pristika the Malka Above, and the king's servants wouldn't come looking for him because he wasn't rich, he wasn't anything impressive, he was under the radar, so to speak. But he would take care of himself, he would support himself. So those are the type of people, if anything, that were, so in other words, we're not talking about the guys who go to yeshiva and are learning in a masmidim. But rather we're talking about the guys who were involved in Torah but were home every night. He also Rabin Omar. Rabin says a different pshat. Kegoyim mefanki demarovo. He's talking about the people who were the fine schmeckers in Eretz Yisrael. That they would eat a lot. They had a lot of extra time. They were very wealthy, so they would take care of themselves and they would eat well. So they were very strong. So those people who were very strong, they had the ability to take care of, you know, to be with their wives all the time. Tanachanami, according to this pshat, has nothing to do with Talmidei Chachamim. Has nothing to do with Talmidei Chachamim. It's just simply the people who could afford it. The people who are around. So Tanachanami, if you're around, then your chiyuv is to be with your wife all the time. If you're around anyway. The Gemara then continues and says, Rabbi Avuah have a koi beibani. So Rabbi Avuah was once in the bathhouse. Have a samchile tre avdi. He had two servants that were supporting him to help him go along. Ifchis beibani mitutoi. So all of a sudden the bathhouse, the whole floor fell out. Apparently they used to have like underneath the bathhouse, they used to have like the overflow of water used to wash in. So there was a gap. There was a gap there, and the it opened up, which is obviously, you can understand, a very dangerous situation. It's Rami Le'amuda, but there was a pillar that happened to be right next to him. Solik Vaskinhu. So he pulled himself up on the pillar, and also pulled up with the other hand, as Rashi says. He was able to save his other two servants, his other two servers, up from falling into the pit. So that was a double strength. Not only was he strong enough to protect himself, he was able to protect, he was able to pull up the other people as well. And similarly, the Gemara tells the story. Rav Yochanan havei kasolik bedargo. Rav Yochanan was once walking up a set of steps. Havei samchilei Rav Ami v'Ravasi. So specifically, Rav Ami and Ravasi were helping him up. Ifchas dargo tutoi. And the staircase opened up, fell apart underneath him. Solik, he was able to pull himself up. Vaskinu, and he was able to pull up Rav Ami and Ravasi as well. Okay, so he was strong enough to not only save himself, but to pull up two other people as well. Amri le, so they said to him, Amri le Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon said to him, V'chimiyach adahachi, lama le limismechei. So if you're so strong that you're able to even pull up other people, why were you leaning on Rav Ami and Rav Asi? Amar lehus, Rav Yochanan says, Imkein, because if so that I would use my strength, ma'aniach la'eis zikna. What am I going to have left when I get older? So we see this concept that you are using up strength. Even if you're strong enough to do something, doesn't mean you should necessarily you should necessarily use up your strength when you are younger. And that's right, that's the connection to the Gemara before. Okay, the Gemara then continues with the next part of the Mishnah, v'hapoilim shtayim b'shabbos, that the poilim, the guys who are working, now, so just to keep it clear, the Rishonim are learning, for the most part, they're learning that this is talking about a poil, which means a day worker. He's going to go out, he's going to have a job, he's going to work during the day, and he's going to come home. So those type of people should be with their wives twice a week. But the problem is, by the time we learned in the Brisa, poilim achas b'shabbos, they really only have to be with their, they only have a chiv to be with their wife once a week. It's not a contradiction. Kan ba'oisim melacha b'iron. Depends whether they work locally in their own city. Kan ba'oisim melacha b'iracheres. If they work in a different city. So if they work in a different city, so then they're not expected to be with their wife every night. So it's interesting. There's a machlokes Rishonim right on this point. What does that mean that they work in a different city? Does that mean that therefore they only come home once a week? Or does that mean they travel to a different city every day? They are home every day, but since they're traveling, they just don't have the strength to be with their wife every night. So that's how a lot of Rishonim learn, believe it or not. It's very interesting, a very major nafkamina. So because it comes out that it's the traveling itself that knocks a person out, that makes them not available, as opposed to, I mean, you could learn that it's talking about that they're not home, and therefore the expectation is less. So it comes out, the difference between these different pshatim is whether it's a din in the guy, whether he is capable, or it's a din in her, whether she has expectations. In other words, if he's home every night, and he's just, and still you only have to be, you don't have a chiyuv because you traveled, that means the husband's not capable. If we're talking about that he leaves for a week, that means she expects that he's not home. So fine, I understand my husband's not home, so I don't have any expectation. That's what it comes out in a very different different pshat in the Gemara. Tani Nami Yochi, we learned in the Brisa that says this. Hapoilim shtayim b'shabbos. So the average worker really should be with their wife twice a week. B'med varam amurim ba'oisim malacha b'iron. That's talking about where they work at home. Aba ba'oisim malacha b'ir acheres. But if they work out of town, so that achas b'shabbos, then the expectation is only to be once a week. Okay. Next, the Mishnah says chamarim achas b'shabbos. The donkey drivers that do go away on longer trips, they're only expected to be home or be with their wife once a week. So amalei rabba bar rav chanon la abaya. So rabba said to abaya, ichbol tana lashmin and tayol upayol. So I don't understand. Now, according to, this is actually going back on the Gemara that we learned right after the Mishnah, which says that according to Beis Hillel, if you make a neder that you're not going to be with your wife for an entire week, so then, right, Beis Hillel said 1 week, Beis Shammai said 2 weeks, so then that's a neder that forces the husband to divorce his wife. But it comes out, after everything is said and done, there are very few limited cases that actually have a chiv to be with their wife more than once a week. It only refers to the tile and the poil who are home, that are home often enough to be with their wife. Everybody else is out of the house even longer. The chamar, as we just said, is only home once a week. So no one's, if they made a neder that they're going to be out, that I'm not going to be with my wife for a week, and they're anyway not home for the week, what difference does it make? So why would why is the whole machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel really is not relevant? So Amar Lo, so Abai answered, Loi, it's really going akuluhu, it's going on all the cases. Oh, but what we just said, most of the cases, their husband's not any, it's not home, as the Gemara says, Vashisha Chadoshim Kamar. It says that, you know, the camel driver is able to be out of the house for 6 months. So what difference does it make if he makes a neder not to be there for a week? To which the Gemara gives a very classic answer. Eina doima mishi yesh loy pas besaloi, lemisha ein loy pas besaloi. So there's a difference between a person who has bread in the pantry and a person who doesn't have bread in the pantry, in the basket. Right? When a person knows that it's impossible, that it's just not gonna happen, it's a different feeling when if you think, I could get it, and, you know, it's not happening right now. It's like, right, as the Rashi says, the mashal is referring specifically to a person who is fasting. If I know I can't eat, it has a different psychological impact than a person who just, okay, fine, I'm too busy and I'm not hungry right now, so I'm not eating lunch. It just has a different impact on the way the person feels. So the same thing over here also. The fact that he's saying to her, I will not be with you for a week, even though he's going to be out of town for a month, that expectation, that statement itself is more harmful and harmful to the marriage than the fact that he happens not to be home anyway. Okay, so again, so you have to be careful what you say. Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanon la Abaya. So Rabba says again to Abaya, Chamar v'nasa gamo mai. What would be the halacha if you have a person who is currently, his profession is a donkey driver, which means he's home once a week, or right, v'nasa gamo, and then he became a camel driver, which is he's going to be out for much longer stretches of time. Okay. So he's going to be out once every 30 days. So now the question is he allowed to switch professions in a way that's going to impact his wife? Obviously, again, all we're talking about over here is without his wife's permission. Meaning can he unilaterally make this decision to change professions, which is more profitable, but it impacts his wife in a way that he's not going to be home. So Amar Lei, so Abai answered, Roitza Isha Bekav V'Tiflus. A woman would rather have one portion, but be tiflis, meaning be with her husband, may asara kaben uprishus, and then, but have 10 times that amount, and be separated from her husband. So Abai is saying the general rule is, again, in the general rule, this is talking about doing stuff without his wife's permission, without her consent, and, you know, having a discussion, is that she'd rather her husband be home, even if he's gonna make more money. Okay? So that you have to take that. Again, you could agree to whatever you want to agree with. Every husband and wife, you know, they have a relationship, hopefully a good relationship. They could discuss and they could, you know, figure out what they want to do. But this is talking about just to change in a way that impacts her without her permission. So the Gemara is saying, no, she'd rather not be impacted. She'd rather him be home even if he's going to make less money. Then the Gemara continues. Hasafonim achas l'shisha chadashim. So the most extreme, there is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that a person who goes out on a boat, a sailor. So you know when they used to go, those were much longer trips. So that would be the expectation would be only they're only home once every 6 months, and that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Bruno, Amar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer. You pass him like this, Rabbi Eliezer, that these are the times. That these are the expectations. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. He says, but he should know, punkt, this is only according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Ava Chachamim, I remember, but there is another whole set of rules according to the Chachamim, which is, HaTamidim Yoytzin LaTalmud Torah Beis V'Gimel Shonim Shaloi Birishos. The Talmud, if you're going to learn Torah even 2-3 years, you can go without permission of your wife because that's the expectation. If you're going to learn, you go to yeshiva. I think about it in the times of the Gemara. There was Bavel and there was Eretz Yisrael. A trip to Eretz Yisrael was a long trip. They didn't just go for a day here and there. They used to go when they went. So they were gone for a couple of years. And that was, according to the Chachamim, acceptable. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, Samchu Rabbanan ad Rav Ada bar Ahava. So they used to rely on this psak that they used to go away for 2-3 years. Va'avid uvda, and they would actually do this, binafshayu, but with their own nefesh. As the Gemara is going to illustrate, this idea of them going away for extended periods of time, long periods of time, without their wives' permission was putting them in sakana. This was very dangerous. This was not really the right thing to do. As the Gemara illustrates, Ki hada Rav Ruchumi, Rav Ruchumi have a shchiach kamei de Rava b'mechuza. So he would go to learn with Rava in Mechuza, was a different city. Have a rogil to have a also the basic called Mala Yom Tikipure. He would come home Erev Yom Kippur. That's when his Bein Azman. So he would be away the whole year. He would come home Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Echad, one time, B'shachte Shmaitza, he got involved in his learning. So he ended up missing his trip home. Have a Mesachya Divisu, his wife was waiting. Hashta Osi, she kept on thinking, okay, she was used to the fact that he would come on Erev Shabbos. He's coming now he's coming. Loy also, and he didn't come because remember he was sitting and learning. Cholish Daita, she became very weak, she got upset. Ach Ochis Dim Osa Me'ena, a tear came out of her eye. Have a Yosef Be'igra, so he was Rav Ruchumi was sitting on the roof. Ifchis Igra, the roof opened up, mitutai from underneath him, v'noch nafshe, and he died. Okay? Because he made his wife sad. Because he had expectations. So, this Gemara is a little bit interesting in the sense that it says he did this without permission. The Gemara is using this as an illustration of going away without permission. Even though he used to come home, He used to come home every year. So now he didn't come home at the end of the year. That already made it, that was already the breaking point. And that breaking point was too much min hashamayim. Okay, so that's what the Gemara wants to say. So it seems that the Gemara is very clear that that's not an acceptable practice, that a husband should be home, even if he's going to learn more often. Again, this is talking about shaloi birushos, more often than the way Rav Adbar Ahava wanted to say. Okay, so on that note, the Gemara says, so how often should somebody who's going to learn, so when should a Talmid Chacham, if he's going to be with his wife either once or twice a week, when is that time? What's the proper date? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, may Erev Shabbos la Erev Shabbos. He should be with his wife on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos over here means Friday night, not Erev Shabbos. Because the Pasuk says, Asher Piryo Yitem Bi'itoy, that they give their fruit in their time. So again, the itoy over here, and most mefarshim explain that it's because there's a din in oinik Shabbos, and this is an oinik Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yehuda v'itamer Rav Huna, so maybe Rav Huna v'itamer Rav Nachman, ze hamashamish mitosim erev Shabbos la'erev Shabbos, that he's with his wife from erev Shabbos la'erev Shabbos. So again, because erev Shabbos also has in it, not only is it the once a week, which is the proper amount of time, but it's also the timing is on Erev Shabbos, because Shabbos has an additional Oinig Shabbos. Yehuda Berei de Rav Chia, Yehuda the son of Rav Chia, Chasnei de Rav Yanei Havei, he was the son-in-law of Rav Yanei, Ozo v'yosef bebei Rav. So he was in yeshiva. V'chol bei Shimshi, Havei Ozo the Beis. He would come home every Erev Shabbos he would come home. Okay. So he used to come home once a week. When he would come, there would always be a pillar of fire in front of him. One day, also again, this happened that he was learning and he missed his deadline to come home for Shabbos. Hahu simono, since they didn't see this simon, that the pillar of fire that was coming in front of him, Amar Lahu Rav Yanai, so Rav Yanai said to them, Kafu mutasoi, that you should turn over your bed, which is a simon of Avelus for somebody who died. Shilmoli Yehuda Kayim, because if Yehuda was still alive, like Batulai Nasa, he wouldn't have missed his time. He was very religious about his timing. He would come home every Shabbos. So, but the Gemara says, "Have kishkoga sheyotzim lefnei hashalid." It's like something, an accident that is said in front of the king, the noch nafshei, and he died. So, in other words, he really was alive. It's just that he missed the time because he was involved in a sugya. He was learning and he forgot to come home. But because Rav Yanai said, "Oh, I guess he's dead," right? So that itself was something that means, you know, that had a direct impact. Okay, Rav Yasek le Librei Bei Rav Chia. So Rav wanted his son marrying to Rav Chia's daughter. He mata le michtav ksuba. When it came time to write the ksuba, noch nafshei deravisa. So the girl was nefteres. So they were about to get married, and Nebuch, this girl died. Amar Rebbe, Chas v'Shalom, Psula Ika. There must be, I mean, something like that to happen, so that it worked out that they didn't get married. Sounds like there must have been something wrong. There must have been a reason why this chasen couldn't marry this kala. Yasivu v'ainu b'mishpachos. So they said, let's look at the family history. Rebbe Osi Mishiftaya ben Avital. So Rebbe's family descended from one of David HaMelech's wives. Rav Chia Osi Mishamai Achi David. And Rav Chia's family came from Shammai, who is the brother of David, who wasn't Malchus. Okay, in other words, they saw that he wasn't Roy for the base Malchus. That's what the Gemara seems to conclude. That the families weren't appropriate for each other. What? Avital was one of the wives of David HaMelech. So he was a direct descendant. One of them was a direct descendant of David HaMelech, and one was not.
And Rebbe was a... Who's the king over here?
Who was the king? So Reb Chiya, it says, Rebbe came, was a direct descendant from David HaMelech. And Reb Chiya was not. So therefore, it wasn't proper for them to intermarry. So instead he went to marry off his son to the daughter of Rav Yosef ben Zimra. So they decided that he should go for 12 years. For 12 years he should go to learn before he got married. So then they brought the girl out so that he could see her, so that he could know who he's going to marry. So the son said, okay, what about 6 years? You know, after he saw her, he's like, I don't want to wait 12 years. I would rather come home after six. And they brought her out a second time, and he saw her a second time. Let's first get married, and then I'll go. Okay, so he wanted to get married first. But he was embarrassed from his father that he wanted to get married first before he went out to learn. So his father said, you have the same mindset as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu also, changed his mind. Originally, the Pasuk says, that the Pasuk says that I'm going to come to Eretz Yisrael, I'll be established in Eretz Yisrael, and then I'll build the Beis HaMikdash. And then at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make the Beis HaMikdash, make the Mishkan right away, so that I could be in Klal Yisrael right away. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let me first settle everything. Let me first see what I can, you know, take care of everything. And I'll make my Beis HaMikdash when we get to Eretz Yisrael. And then he said, no, you know what, let's do it right away. Let's make the Mishkan right away. So the same thing also, you, instead of going to learn right away, you said, I right away want to be with the wife. Okay, so he went ahead and he got married right away, but he did keep his half of the deal. So he got married right away, and then he went to learn in yeshiva for 12 years. But the problem was, till he came back, his wife became an akara. She no longer was able to bear children because she went more than 10 years without being with her husband. Amar Rebbe, Hechinavi. So Rebbe says, what should I do with this girl? Nigarsha, if I'm going to force her to get married, Yomru Aniyazu L'Shav Shimra. So then we're going to say, this girl waited for 12 years for nothing, for naught, because then at the end of 12 years they got divorced. Ninsava, so just get married in her condition, Ninsava, so I'll marry a second wife in addition, because I need to have children. So they're going to say, okay, this girl, she's not here for the children, so she's not the real wife, she's a zoyna. So that's not fair either. So Rebbe davened that she should get healed, and she did get better, and she was no longer an akara, and they were able to have a happy marriage. Okay, that's one story. Rav Chanina bar Chachinoy. So he also was going to yeshiva during the chasana of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So in other words, Rav Shimon ben Yochai was getting married, and it was time for him to go. It happened to be that night was the night that he was planning on traveling to go to yeshiva. Omar Lay, so Rav Shimon ben Yochai said to him, Yaakovly, wait for me. Ad the osi bahadach until I can come from you. Wait for me to finish my sheva brachos, and then I'll come to yeshiva with you. Lo yakev late, but no. Rav Chanina ben Chachinoy didn't wait. He said it's time for me to go. He went. Also Yosef Shni beirav. He went and he learned for 12 years. Ad osi ishtana shvili demoso, but he came back to the city 12 years later. Over the 12 years, there was a lot of construction in the city, and he couldn't find his way home. He didn't know where to go. He couldn't get home anymore. He couldn't get to his house. So he went to the river bank. He heard this one girl say about to this second girl. He said, "Hey, the daughter of Chachinoy, moli koy lasech v'ta nezel. Fill up your pitcher, fill up your water bucket, and go and let's go." So he heard that this girl was being called Bas Chachinoy. So Omar Shmamino, Hai Ravisa Didon. He said, oh, this girl must be ours. Also Basra, he followed her. Have a Yesivo Divisu So he followed her home, and he found that his wife was in the middle of sifting flour. Dol ene, she picked up her eyes. Chazisa, and she saw him. Savu liba, her heart skipped a beat. Parach rucha, and that was, she had a heart attack, and she died. Amar lefanav, so Reb Chinoi, Reb Chanina ben Chachinoi said, Rebbeinu shel olam, ani azu, this poor girl, zes chara, this is what she gets chara for letting me go off to yeshiva for 12 years. So her chara is that when she sees me, she dies. Boy rach me Allah v'chaya. So again, he davened for her, and she came back to life. And we see from these stories, by the way, it was just the tefillah, and he was able to bring her back to life just from the tefillah alone. Rabbi Chama bar Bisna, Ozel Yosef Treisri Shni Bebe Midrasha. So he went for 12 years to learn. He also, when he came home, Omar Lo Yave Kida Oved Ben Chachinoi. I'm not going to do what the story that we just heard, that to surprise my wife. The surprise doesn't pan out so well. So Ayol Yosef Be Midrasha. So he went to the Beis Medrash, and he was sitting, learned Shalach Lebeise, and he sent a message to his house that he was coming home, so his wife should expect him. Also, Rav Oishia Berei, Rav Oishia, who happened to be his son. Okay, so this is the son of Rav Chama Bar Bisna. Yosef Kamei. So he sat there. He came to the Beis Medrash, and he was sitting with his father. Now his father did not recognize him because it had been 12 years. He didn't know who this boy was. So he was discussing various sugyas with him. So he saw that this boy was, Rabbi Elisha was very smart, knew his stuff. And he started to feel bad. Omar, if I had been here, if I had been home, if I had been local, I would have had a son like this. So he saw, he felt bad that, look at this son, he didn't know who this boy was. So he said, I wish I was able to, teach my son to be this way. So after that, but remember he had sent a message to his wife, he came home. So Rabbi Oishia walked into the house behind him. Kam kamei. So he stood up for Rav Oishia because he saw that he was a very smart guy. He was a Talmud Chacham. He thought that Rav Oishia was following him because, they were talking and learning. He thought that he was coming into the house because he wanted to finish the discussion. He wanted to ask him a question in Halacha. Amrulay, so he stood up to greet Rav Oishia. Amrulay, Devisu says, wife say, Mi ika abo de koi mikame bra. Is it normal for a father to stand up for his own son? So, right, so this is the first time he was realizing that it was really his son. Kari alei Rami bar Chama. So Rami bar Chama said, "Hachut hamashulish loy b'mehera yinosek." That a strand that is tripled doesn't break quickly. Zerav Oishia, as the Gemara says, and who's this referring to? Zerav Oishia benoi shav Rabbi Chama bar Bisna. This is Rav Oishia, who's the son of Rabbi Chama bar Bisna. So there's a couple of interesting explanations over here. Because we usually use this to say that simply if you have three generations of Talmidei Chachamim, so then the Torah, as Rashi says a very simple pshat, which is the emes of pshat, that once it's in the family, so then this family becomes a family of Talmidei Chachamim, and then it's that's where the Torah stays. But I saw also a different pshat, that the Chiddush is based on a Gemara. This Gemara is referring to what we learn in Kedushin. What we're going to learn in Masechtas Kedushin. The Gemara in Masechtas Kedushin says that if a grandfather learns with his grandson, Abba learns with Ben Benoi, with his grandson, it's as if he's being Mekabel Torah Misinai. It's as if that generation, if a grandfather is zeicha to learn with his grandson, it's as if he's learning directly Misinai. So that's what this is referring to, and that's why the Gemara says it's referring to Rav Oishia, Benoisho Rabbi Chama, Bar Bisna. He was the son of Bar Bisna. So Bar Bisna stayed local. So Rabbi Chama went to learn in yeshiva for 12 years. But Bar Bisna, Bisa, was learning with Rav Ishia, and he taught Rav Ishia. So it went from the grandfather directly to the grandson. So that's why the pasuk of Loi B'Meheri Yinatek, that therefore it's gonna, this is something that's serious, that it's gonna stay in the family, and it's gonna be able to continue. Because it went, it skipped a generation, it went from the grandfather to the grandson. Okay, we'll stop over here.